If it feels like no one understands your problems or cares to listen, if it feels like there is no one else in this world who has gone through what you have, if you feel like you're so close to giving up but still holding on, Cafe with Monica was made for you. I'll show you how to deal with the everyday and not so everyday situations that surface in the lives of millennials. By sharing my experiences and knowledge, I hope to inform, inspire, and provide solutions to problems that may seem out of reach. So grab your coffee or drink of choice and let's just talk about it. Welcome to Cafe with Monica. This is episode 17. I am Monica, your host, a millennial helping millennials to hashtag just talk about it over coffee. In this episode, we're going to talk about loss and grief, and I have a guest who's going to share her story, so I can't wait for you to listen. Hey guys, welcome back to the podcast. Today I have a old classmate of mine, Becky, and Becky is a counselor currently at Christian Works. This is a nonprofit organization that does individual therapy and family therapy. They offer a lot of different services, so really do check them out. But Becky specifically, she is passionate about helping others through their grief journey and also helping new mothers through their new motherhood journey since she's a new mom. So, but her ultimate goal as well is to potentially go and do private practice once she gets her full license. And today we get to hear Becky's story about how it was like to lose her husband at a very young age. Her story is really unique, but I feel like something like this, you're just never prepared for with whatever age it is. And I think different women experience different types of grief and different types of way to process and cope with the grief and the loss, no matter the age. And I really want you guys to listen to her story and hopefully feel like you're not alone, especially if you are somebody who this has happened to. Because that's the main thing about this podcast, is to help you feel like you're not alone and to talk about topics that people don't like talking about. So welcome, Becky.
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. Oh, I'm so excited. When I started the podcast, I knew right away, I was writing down names about people that I wanted to interview. And I said, you know what? Like, Becky was always so open and honest about her journey, and it was, you know, every time I would listen to your story when we were in our like counseling class and stuff like that, I was always like, wow, like she is so brave, like she is so fearless, like she is, like these are all the things that I believe about you. And so I really want to, you know, share your story, because I think everybody should have a platform to share their story and hopefully encourage others, you know, and help them feel hope throughout this whole grieving process. Becky, so tell us a little bit about your story. So where do you want to start?
Well, I'll start, you know, from the beginning, kind of like what that day was like for me. Mm-hmm. So it was just like any other day. It's just a normal Saturday, right? It was August 24th, 2013 in the afternoon. On a Saturday, you know, it was my day off. I was relaxing. We had a new dog. So we were just kind of chilling, getting to know each other. And Jake was actually on a trip. He was coming home that afternoon with one of his friends, and they were at a deer lease that weekend. They were, you know, doing guy stuff. I don't really know what all they were doing, but guy something stuff. About, yeah, hunting hogs, and I don't even know. He was excited. So, because he was all about guns and shooting, and anyway, so he got to do all that stuff. So I was actually out walking Buddy, who's our dog. Actually, side note, we had gotten Buddy that week on the 20th of August, which was Jake's birthday. My sister had gotten this dog from the daycare she worked at, doggy daycare she worked at, and the owner was like, oh, you know, I don't want Buddy anymore. Right?
Like, you don't want
He's
your dog.
Dog. Like, I want your dog. Give me your dog. And Jake loves beagles. He had a beagle growing up. And so, like, as soon as Buddy walked into the room in our apartment, Jake just melted. You know, it's a memory that I'm always going to remember. And that makes me smile just because, like, that's just his personality. Like, you know, he had, like, it was very outspoken about politics and all this different stuff, but he was such a softie and he loved people, and I just love that he melted when he saw the dog. But so having said that, I was out walking Buddy, our beagle, around the apartment complex. And, I thought it would be nice to kind of greet Jake with Buddy as they were coming back home. Cause it was right around the time when he was supposed to be home. Cause he had, you know, told me when he was leaving, and I was like, okay, about like 3 hours. All right. So maybe around 5 that day. So, I was getting a little bit worried because it was going past 5 o'clock, and, you know, I just, you kind of have those concerns sometimes, like, okay, what's going on? Like, you should be here. Like, what, maybe there's traffic. Okay, let's not freak out. But then a few minutes later, after that thought popped into my head, I get a call from, Jake's friend's wife. His friend's name is Tyler. Tyler, and him were at the deer lease, and they were coming back. Mm-hmm. And so Tyler's wife, Melissa, called me, and I mean, this is the call that changed my life. little did I know. But so she calls. I answer the phone, obviously, and she says, hey, have you heard about the guys? Well, in my mind, I'm thinking, have you heard from the guys?
Mm-hmm. And I'm not like, about the guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not about, like, that was a weird question in my mind, and I interpreted it differently. But I said, no. And so she said, well, there was an accident. Tyler is being taken to a hospital. And then, of course, my thought is, well, what about Jake? Like, what happened to Jake? And she says, I don't know. I don't know anything about Jake. So Tyler's being taken to Hillcrest Baptist in Waco. That's all I know. And she's like, I'm on my way there right now. And I was in shock, kind of freaking out. But I didn't want to like freak out on the phone, because I didn't want to make it worse for her, since she was actually driving, going there. And so it's just kind of like an out of body experience. Like, I was freaking out, about to just start breaking down, crying and trying to hold it all together, because I had no idea what was happening to my husband. And that's the most frightening thing that any young woman can think about as a young wife. You have no idea what happened to your husband. No information. You just know there was an accident. But something inside of me urged my voice to just tell her that everything was going to be okay. I don't know why I said that. Maybe it's because I needed to hear that, but I told her that. And then that was the phone call. And so I hung up, and I am like crying hysterically, a mess. I mean, just, I'm sure people who saw me walking back to my apartment with Buddy in tow behind me was like, what is this woman? Like, oh my goodness. And so I'm just like, no words came. I was bawling my eyes out. And so long story short, you know, I called my parents, and then I had to call his parents, which was tough, to tell them that their son was in an accident. And then we all met at my apartment, and then we left for Waco having no idea where we were going. Mm-hmm. On the way there, I had to, thinking about that. I had to call. I started with calling Hillcrest Baptist in Waco, because that's where Tyler went. So I was, mm-hmm, like, okay, maybe they took Jake there as well. Sure enough, that's where Jake was. They couldn't tell me anything over the phone. Obviously, for HIPAA reasons, I know that now. I was very frustrated with them then, though, because I'm like, I want to know. Like, I'm not lying that I'm his wife. You know, all this stuff, trying to like prove myself to them. But you know, all the nurses could tell me was, there, you know, he's in critical condition. So I'm panicking all the way to the hospital. I think it takes about 3 hours, 2.5, 3 hours, to get to Waco or something like that.
Were y'all driving from Dallas or?
Yeah. Louisville.
Yeah.
From Louisville, my apartment. So I think it typically takes 3 hours or more. I don't know, on a normal day, but on that day, my dad definitely was probably speeding. But it just seems to just stretch out such a long, my whole time frame, starting from when I got the call to whatever, is all skewed. Like, it's just, it seemed fast when I think about it, but then when I was there, I know it seemed like an eternity. So we got to the hospital, and I really can't fully describe to you the emotion that was there. I felt lost and scared, and but hopeful, because that's my personality, and I needed to feel.
Yeah, you were hoping for the best. You didn't know what was happening.
Mm-hmm.
You were just kind of going through the motions. And first of all, entering a hospital in any circumstance is just scary.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, even going into a hospital, I always take back the time when my grandma died. And mm-hmm. and it's a negative experience. So if somebody goes in there, I don't know, I just have always had negative experiences in hospitals. So I can totally understand feeling scared, but yet feeling hopeful at the same time. Like, I'm mm-hmm. hoping that, you know, everything is okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, I get to the ER department and, you know, go to the nurse's station, you know, the check-in desk, and, mm-hmm. and they're all, you know, like, hey, this is my name. Like, I'm Rebecca Rush. I need to find my husband, Jacob Andrew Rush. And they're all like, the nurses are like, all kind of like, looking back on it, I can kind of tell that they were kind of like in shock or something, like, oh no, like, cause you know, by that time, Jake had already died. It was just his body, and he was no longer, you know, with us, in this physical world. And so they knew that. And I'm sure that they had so many other feelings of, well, crap, there's this young woman.
Yeah. And now I have to tell her this news. Yeah.
Right. And so I'll never forget the words that the nurse told me, is that, let me take you to the family consultation room. When, I don't know what you think about family consultation rooms in the ER room or the hospitals, but I don't have any good connotation to them whatsoever.
No,
right
not
now.
At all.
Anytime that I see a family consultation sign outside a room, it's like, oh, someone's going to have to go in there and they're going to tell them like horrible news. Like that's what I think of when I go to hospitals and I see that sign. Doesn't matter. It, you know, they probably don't tell them horrible news, like someone died. Like but there's but that's my experience with it.
Yeah.
And so I walk into the room, it is freezing cold, freezing. And I'm like shaking because my nerves and just emotion, pouring out of me. And I sit down and they had to check my ID. The trooper came in, they had to check my ID. And then the words I will never ever forget came out of his mouth and said, as you know, there has been a horrific accident or a tragic accident,
mm-hmm.
and Jacob did not make it. Up to that point, I was, you know, crying and I was actually feeling stuff. After the trooper told me that, Jake's mother and family like just like yelled and was crying and weeping and you know, I think I did let out like a yell or, you know, just a, you know, that's how it came out in me, mm-hmm. and my emotion. But then after that, I was in shock. I was in shock. I didn't know what to do. When I was listening to what happened, the trooper was telling us, I heard him and I heard every single word, but as far as feeling, I wasn't feeling anything. I was just there because I had just lost the most important person in the whole wide world to me. I had lost the love of my life, my best friend that I'd known since high school. I mean, we were best friends before we became, you know, dating and then engaged and then married. So he was my everything. And then, of course, the trooper, you know, said that we had to go identify the body. And that kind of snapped me back into reality a little bit. And I am terrified. The one person in that room that I looked at for guidance on that was my dad. My dad is such a strong person.
He was that rock for you?
Uh-huh, yeah. Well, and my mom, too. But I mean, my dad just knows how to handle those emotions. And I look at him and he just knows without saying anything. We just have this connection, the two of us. And he says, I'll do it. And so I never saw Jake's body. I never saw him in the hospital. I never saw him in the casket, in the funeral home. Like, I didn't see his body at all. Which I could talk a little bit more about that, since, you know, talking about having closure.
Yeah.
With grief, I didn't really have that. The very last memory I have of him physically is saying goodbye before he left on his trip, and then him saying, "I love you." And then, you know, you do that little sappy thing, like, "But I don't want you to go."
Yeah.
And then he says, "Babe, but I'm coming back." Of course he didn't, but physically he didn't. But that's the last memory I have of him. You know, I knew his body was in the casket at the funeral. And then as they lowered, as he was sitting above the grave, but I didn't ever see it.
Yeah. So was it a closed casket?
Yes.
Okay.
We, you know, I had the option of doing open or closed, and to be honest with you, like, you have to make quick decisions.
Mm-hmm.
Because the body doesn't stay, you know, for long. So you kind of have to make a quick decision. And the funeral home director had asked my dad, because my dad had been communicating with them, like, mm-hmm. that whole night and everything, and trying to kind of, everyone around me was trying to work the plans without having to really fully implement me,
mm-hmm.
just because they knew how I was a mess. I couldn't think straight, but my dad did have to ask me this. And he said, you know, "Do you want open or closed?" And I'm like, "Dad, I don't know. You saw him. I didn't." So what we decided was, let's go ahead and prepare his body to have an open casket funeral, but reserve the option to have it closed. If even though what they did didn't, because Jake's body was very much badly damaged.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I didn't see it, but my dad, you know, gave me a little bit of details, because I kind of forced him to after a little bit. 'Cause I'm like, "Dad, I need closure.
You need to know."
I need to know. And from the, what he described, like, I'm glad we decided to do closed casket. 'Cause, my brother went after, Jake's body was prepared. They let you see the body just to make sure. And so my dad went back there, but he took my brother for another set of eyes. My brother is another person that I lean on through pretty much everything, because he's also my rock. He's my older brother. Yeah, he's just awesome. God has blessed me so immensely to be a part of a family that has this wonderful man of a brother. I feel like every girl needs to have a brother. But not every girl gets to have a brother.
Yeah.
But I'm glad I have mine.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
So I don't think we mentioned this in the beginning, but how old were you at the time?
I was 25.
You were 25. And how long have y'all been married at this point?
2 years and 2 months exactly.
Two
we got married on, yeah, June 24th, 2011. So I don't like the number 24. But 2 years, 2 months.
And you mentioned how you said God has blessed you, you know, to be mm-hmm. part of a family with men who have been, you know, very supportive, you know, through mm-hmm. that process. What were your feelings towards God when this happened? Because I know, like, a lot of people... I mean, I know my experience, I was questioning my faith. I was questioning why.
Mm. Okay, so it started in, I kind of have to take you back to that family consultation room when I was sitting there, and after kind of everything, like, you know, I was feeling like I was falling into abyss after I kind of came out of the initial shock of it all. I felt like I was falling into an abyss. And deep inside my mind, or somewhere inside of me, I don't really know. I was, you know, I had a choice. I could either continue falling and let myself fall and fall and fall, and who knows what that would have been like, or to pick myself up and trust in God. I decided to do the latter. I mean, sure, there were times when I was upset. I wouldn't say I was angry or mad at God, but I was upset and frustrated and didn't understand why that happened to me. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, I've been a good Christian my whole life. So, of course, there were those feelings that came up and that arose, like, you know, why did this happen? I don't understand this. Why, like, how did, it just doesn't make sense to me in my mind.
Yeah.
But I always kept, I've never left the faith. I've never buried my faith in the dirt. I've never stomped on it. I have never, all throughout it, I've really been very intentional because, you know, a lot of the questions that I get is, you know, what was it that helps you through this the most? And I was God, hands down, 100%. In my opinion, and I know that there are going to be people listening to this that will think very differently from me, so just know that this is my opinion and how I was raised. But in my opinion, I feel like through the hard times in life, the thing or the person that can get you through it the best is God. Because that's how I got through it, was my faith in God. And it, you know, when I was a senior in college, my undergrad, I was talking with one of my roommates, and she had been to Africa on a mission, like for a semester, and like her world was rocked. Like her faith grew because she saw so much stuff. And I'm like, oh man, I want my faith to be rocked like that. You know, just, well, let me tell you. You get what you ask for.
Yeah.
because I was at an impasse of two different paths that I could take. And I could have taken the path of hating and being mad at God for the rest of my life. Or I could take the path of, you know what? I don't like this. I don't like what you've put in front of me, but I'm going to trust you anyway. And I'm going to continue on this path. It is scary. And it feels like you're in an ocean, a stormy ocean with waves like so high that are coming and are going to crash on you. But you know what? He puts a stepping stone in front of me. When I see a wave coming, pop, there's a stepping stone. And so I jump on that and the wave misses me. I mean, I might be kind of like, you know, struggling to balance after I jump, but he has provided a way for me throughout this whole almost six years after losing Jake to continue moving forward and continue moving forward, standing up on my two feet.
I love that. I love that. I love how you say, you know, there was two different paths you could take and you decided to, hey, this has always been my foundation. This has always been what has kept me going. And I'm going to continue to faithfully know that he is doing this and that there's a bigger picture. There's a bigger purpose through all this, you know, because now through this journey, even though it was a horrible, horrible, traumatic experience, it's made you the counselor that you are today, and it's helped you help other people through this journey. You know, it would have never happened like that. I mean, you would have never been the Becky you are today, or met the people or changed the people's lives that you have touched today, if that wouldn't have happened. And that not to say that Monica, what are you saying? You know, like it's still a terrible experience, but I know that God puts things in our lives for a reason. And there's always a bigger purpose than ourselves. There's always something bigger than ourselves that we can't understand. And that's why I wanted to ask you, like, how was that relationship, if, you know, with God, if you had continued fostering that relationship and continuing with your faith and all that, because I've seen people stumble. I've seen after something traumatic happening that they stumble and that they don't know what direction to take. And often it's the direction that is not the best direction.
Yeah. 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 In the eyes of other people, for sure. And I got to see that firsthand in losing Jake, and just losing that one person. I got to see so many different grief journeys. It was kind of cool, but also like, oh, come on, kind of saddening too. Like, oh, I'm like, anyway, but
yeah, but you do. It's a different connection mm-hmm. to people. It's like you honestly get into this exclusive club, you know,
yeah.
of people that no one else could understand, but you can because you've gone through this experience. Cause I would never, I even asking you these questions, I could not understand fully because it did not happen to me. And that's okay. Mm-hmm. I know that that's okay. As a counselor, I know that there's different experiences that people are going to have that have never gone through. But so how has this process been for you? So when, you know, the funeral happened, you had family support kind of helping you make those hard decisions along the way. Planning sucks. I hate that, you know, we lose somebody mm-hmm. and then there's all this planning, all these like rational things we have to do when we're irrational and we're emotional and we're going through all these things and we have to make those decisions. So I'm glad that you had people there that were able to help you with that decision. But after that, what was life after that?
Quiet. You know, the interesting thing about when you lose someone, you have all this amazing support up front. And I had a ton of support. You know, my church family, my family, my friend family, my work family, and Facebook friends, you know, just so much support, which is so amazing. But then it goes a little bit quiet after.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like after the funeral, it starts tapering off. That support starts tapering off. And not because they don't want to give you support, I think, but it's just because that they have their own lives.
Yeah.
And for me, losing my husband was like a huge part of my life. And so that completely turned my life around. So it was a little bit different. So of course, you know, mine was a day to day, I had to live it, and other people there for support just continue on with their lives. Not meaning to not provide the support for you. And then another thing is, you know, some people don't know what to say. They don't know what to do. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, so for somebody having gone through this, what would be something that a friend could say to somebody that was going through, that went through something like this, even though it might not be the most helpful, but what would somebody be able to say to somebody that was going through this or do for this person?
Well, so I think the most beautiful gift that you can give someone going through this similar situation is, to just be there beside them. And to give them that permission to tell their story and retell it and tell it again, even though you've heard it time and time again, they have to continue processing it. I needed to continue processing my story. And so I had those people in my life where they allowed me to talk about it over and over and over again. And I'm sure they got tired of hearing about it, but they continued to let me do it. And so it's not about, I think people worry too much about what to say. And it's really not about what to say to that grieving person. It's about more about what you do.
Mm-hmm.
Do you give them the time? Do you give them your ear? Do you give them your humanity? Of, yeah, it sucks. I'm here.
Yeah.
I'm here. I'm walking beside you in this journey. 'Cause it's tough. And if you are old enough to love, you are old enough to grieve. So if you haven't experienced a loss, you will. And so what better time to like really experience it by sitting with someone who's going through it?
Yeah. I think for a lot of people, it's uncomfortable. It's because it's unknown and it's uncomfortable to be there for that person. And so they feel like I'm not being a good friend, or because I'm not saying the right things, I'm not doing the right things. But I think somebody would just appreciate being there without saying anything, without knowing the right things to say, because there really isn't a right thing. There's no magical phrase that you can say as a friend or as a family member for this person.
Mm-hmm. Because really, I mean, the words that would probably help the grieving person the most is, I will bring your person back and I'll wave a wand. Ta-da! Oh, yeah.
That'd be amazing. Yeah.
Right? But that doesn't happen.
Yeah. And it's like setting into the reality of what just happened and just acknowledging that these feelings, you'll always have the trauma, but eventually you'll process it, and eventually it gets a little less hard to say the story.
Yeah.
You know, and but yeah, I like what you said, you know, just allowing that person to share their story over and over again. No matter, and not judging them or, you know, or being upset with them or annoyed with them for saying their story just because it's not, you know, you're uncomfortable. You know? So you said that life, you just kind of took it day by day. Were there things that you did, you know, or explored? I mean, group therapy, support groups. What were some things that you kind of explored during this process? Because you said eventually, you know, people, the support is there, you know, you have your family, you have other people who are involved, you know, because they're there, it just happened, they want to be there, but eventually you have to like live life and you're on your own to vent for yourself. So what were some things that helped you or that you tried?
I did individual counseling.
Mm-hmm.
With an amazing therapist. I mean, I am so thankful for her. And it allowed me to have a person that was sitting in front of me that just allowed me to talk through stuff. You know, it's kind of weird, like going to counseling, because that was the very first time I had seen a counselor. And so it's like, is she going to ask me questions? Like, what is she going to do? I don't know. This is weird. And so the first thing she says was, tell me about what happened. And I'm tell me about you and Jake. So like, do you want to like the whole story? Like from the very beginning, like what, I need parameters here. And so she's like, whatever you want to talk about.
Ooh, just like, that space. Yeah.
What? Mind blowing. So it was really just really cool that I could process from the very beginning of our relationship to, you know, currently. But it allowed me that space
to heal.
Talk about it. Yeah, yeah. To heal.
Yeah.
To heal. To make sense of what happened. To have someone tell you that you're not going crazy sometimes, you know. And also just to give some good resources like, oh, hey, here's a book to read. Or, hey, I thought about you when I read this article. You know, just someone genuinely interested. And it means a lot whenever, you know, like you go to a therapist and you're like, oh, you actually thought about me during the week. That's great.
Yeah.
I mean something to you.
Yeah. It validates that there's somebody else out there in the world who cares about your healing process and that wants you to, I don't like the word moving on, but like that helps
moving
you.
Forward.
Yeah. Moving forward. Yeah. I don't like moving on. Like, no, yeah. Yeah, moving forward. You know, through life when you had, because I also, it's understanding that the expectations that you had for your life may not come out as what was planned, because this totally shifted. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you guys thought of having kids and all, you know, all these beautiful things that you, when you're, you know, in a new marriage and all these, it's those things were taken away because, you know, the person was taken away and now you're having to explore like what's next. I'm still here in this world, and eventually we will see each other again. But while I'm here, what's next for me? And I'm curious, Becky, and I'm sure you've shared this, but I don't remember. Did you know you were wanted to be a counselor before this happened, or was it something because of this?
No, yeah, it was definitely because of this. I actually had a roommate that was doing a, when I was an undergrad, she was doing a psychology major, and I was going to go into marriage family therapist. And then I was just, you know, thinking about all that she had to do. And I'm like, ooh, I'm so glad I don't have to do that. I never want to be a counselor.
That's funny.
And here I am.
Here you are. And so, you know, I listening to your story right now, and you know, I've been able to see a little bit part of your journey just because we were classmates, and you were part of my wedding, and I went to your wedding. You know, you got remarried. So life did go on, you know, life did go on. You changed career paths, became a counselor. I didn't know that. I didn't know if that was something that, because of that, you wanted to be a counselor. But moving forward, how does it feel now? And when did you know that you were ready to find love again?
See, and that's a hard question to answer because, like, I don't think you're ever really ready. Like, after you lose someone that young, like, I think it's more like, I'm just going to try this and see what happens. And I'll be honest with you, it didn't work out a few times. And I really had to work on my own self-worth and positive self-image, because there's a lot of hateful people out there in the world that only look at, you know, the picture, the physical person. But then I met Jordan and that was in 2016, May of 2016. Yeah. May of 2016. And it was more of a, like, I finally resigned myself that, you know what, I'm going to try this one more time. And this was online dating. I'm going to try this one more time. I'm going to activate my Christian Mingle for, you know, a month, and I'm going to see what happens. But you know what, this time I'm going to be content with where God has me right now. You know, at that point I was about to start my practicum hours, internship hours the following semester. We were right there with each other. So, you know, what I'm talking, and then, you know, graduating. And so I could see the future, fairly closely. And so I was like, I'm going to take a step back here. I'm going to be content. And that's really hard to come to. So hard, because you want to love. You do. I don't care who you are. If you've lost a spouse, you want that love again. And it's a way to honor them. It honors that person that you were with for you to want to love again. And that's the way I kind of chose to look at it when I dated some of these guys. But something about Jordan, I don't know, Jordan and I talked about this so much, and, you know, we're very careful to say, oh, well, God led me to you, or, you know, God called you to me, you know, God put us together kind of thing. Because I think, you know, in my opinion, we are able to choose our own paths and our own futures and write our own stories. I don't think God is like, has chess pieces and moving, you know, you know, I definitely, but I do believe that God was in this relationship, because we just had a connection. It's kind of sounds stupid and silly, but we did. You know, talking to him online for like a week was like, okay, so this guy has depth. All right, let's see where this goes. Like, at first though, I was kind of like, you know, hands off, because I had bad experiences. Mm-hmm. And there was a day when I didn't talk to him at all. And he tells me later, he's like, man, I don't know what I did. I don't know what happened. But what's cool is that he continued pursuing me.
Yeah.
And that persistent. Was different. Mm-hmm. He was persistent. And that was different. But it wasn't like a weird pursuing. Like, you know, it wasn't like creepy.
Yeah.
it was sweet. And so we decided to go to coffee together, and I saw him drive up, because I'd seen his picture online, of course. And something about the way the light hit, I had the unbelievably hugest smile on my face, and I quickly looked down, but he did catch, he said he did see my smile and blush. But I got out of the car, and he's just such a warming, welcoming person anyway. But it was just perfect. You know, it was after work, the sun was kind of setting. It was like, you know, like a movie, a romance movie. Like this light was like shining on the back of him and his eyes were like clear blue. And I'm like, I want to melt. And what was cool is that I knew he was the one when, I mean, looking back on it at that point, I was, you know, I knew he was the one whenever we were in the restaurant at BJ's in Louisville and it felt like it was just me and him, you know?
Yep. I completely understand what you're saying. Yes. When all the noise, anybody else does not matter. And it's just that one person and you feel like that person gets you and understands you and is compatible. Like you can start seeing your life. You can start picturing life together. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I love that.
And then that was just the beginning and our story is still continuing today. Yeah. It's still being written and we have a beautiful baby girl.
Yeah, so she's beautiful. I love it. One more question. I mean, because I wanted to ask, when did you tell him about Jake?
So he knew from the very beginning.
Okay.
You know, on my online profile, I was very honest. Like you talk about me being very open and honest. I wanted guys to understand my past and my story and that if you can't accept me, just because, you know, I've had a previous person, then you're not worth it.
Yeah.
And that's actually what attracted him to me was that he read my story and I didn't tell all the details, you know, just basic, you know, information. But he read my profile and he said, because you were open and it was like, this is me kind of thing. He's like, I had to get to know you. I had to, because you were different.
Oh, I love that. I love seeing y'all's love and seeing the beautiful, beautiful little girl that you both have created. And it's little pieces of you guys together. I love that. And I've seen you grow so much into this just beautiful person. You know, you are already a beautiful person, but you continuously to do amazing work on others. And I am so grateful that you agreed to talking about this because this is a really, I mean, it's a vulnerable topic and I know it's been years now and you know, you've shared your story and this is just another way to share your story to more people who have gone through something like this. I know we didn't go really detail and all that because I do want people to understand that there are parts of people's stories that they have to keep for themselves moving forward. But I know that this is part of your story, but you continue to work on yourself, go to therapy and open yourself for love. And you found your, you know, your prince. So I love that.
I did. My knight in shining armor.
And I wanted to ask you, this is a question that I ask every interviewee, but what is a topic that you feel like people should talk about more that isn't talked about?
Even though your life continues after you lose that person, you still will grieve. Like, even though I have a wonderful, amazing husband and I have a gorgeous, beautiful little princess and a wonderful job, I still miss Jake. Yeah. You're still going to grieve.
Yeah.
You know,
and that's okay.
Yeah. And I want to reduce the stigma on that, that it's okay if you're still grieving, but your life has continued forward. It's okay.
Yeah, I think people, some people feel like grieving is just momentarily that there has to be an end to it, but there isn't. There is no end. It's something that you feel when you lose that person, any person that you loved, that you love, that you care about. I mean, they're still there. I mean, they were parts of your lives that you can't take back. Those are your memories. Those are your, you know, future expectations that, you know, might have not been met because, you know, God said that this was their time. But yeah, I think people feel like grieving is just it's something that people can get over and it's not.
It's not.
You just feel better about it. Like you heal more, mm-hmm. But the wound is still, the scar is still there, you know, and the scar is still there, and it's still, when we go, when we look at, I'm just thinking like a hypothetical scar, when we look at it, you know, it reminds us of the loss, you know, and that does make us sad, and that does make us miss the person. And I think it's also nice because you get to think back about the memories, and it's not like all was forgotten. It's though I moved on. I hate moving on, but that's what
That's what we say,
that's what
right?
people say. But I'm moving forward, and I'm creating a life because I'm here. But that does not mean that the life that you had with Jake is any less or faded or in any way. It's still there. It's acknowledged, and I'm glad that you were honest. Like when you were online, you were honest, and you found somebody that admired and loved you and was ready for you. Like he was ready. Like he was ready to make you his wife.
Oh
I
yes,
believe
he was.
that.
He was. No, for sure. But
Aww.
yeah.
Well, thank you so much for being on this podcast. I love to get to talk to you and catch up.
Well, thank you so much for allowing me to be on here. I love sharing my story, so
Yay.
anyone can reach out to me if they
Yes, and
want.
I'll put all that stuff in the show. Oh, wait. So if people want to, maybe they are. So do you only provide for Christian Works? Is it only, for children or?
We also see adults as well. So
Okay.
it's
So
not just
are
kids.
you open for new clients?
Oh yeah. I'm over here in our Fort Worth office.
Okay, so it's Christian Works, right? So anybody
Christian
can
Works.
Christian Works in Fort Worth. Okay, and
Or
Becky.
Dallas. We do have a Dallas location as well.
But we want people to come to you. I'm just
Yeah, we do.
kidding.
Come to me,
Yes,
people.
yes. Go check out Becky. Go sign up. She's an awesome counselor. Fully vouch her. So yeah, please check it out. And I'll put a link to Christian Works, and if you guys have like a website or anything, and so if people can reach you if they're
Yeah,
interested in being clients.
for sure.
Okay.
Awesome.
Thanks for listening to Cafe with Monica. This was made for you. So be sure to visit cafewithmonica.com to access the show notes, where I write tips and additional resources for this episode in a location convenient for you. And if you love this episode and found value and can't wait to hear more, go ahead and subscribe, rate, and review it on iTunes. It would mean the world to me. I can't wait for you to listen to the next episode. So see you guys next time.